This episode of Sports Caffeine is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SC2020. Your balls will thank you. And now, Sports Caffeine.
It's time to wake up, recover from last night's mess, and get your fix of Sports Caffeine. It's time to kickstart your day with the latest sports news and opinions. Get ready. Sports Caffeine is live in 3, 2, 1.
And welcome everybody to another episode of Sports Caffeine. Happy Taco Tuesday Sports Night. I am one of your hosts, L. Bushman. Give me one second here while I pour a nice frosty tasty beer into my trusty Dugout Mug. That's right. Dugout Mugs is one of our proud sponsors. So if you go to dugoutmugs.com/sportscaffeine, get one of your Dugout Mugs by us. So I'm going to do this real quick. Hope everybody's having a great Taco Tuesday, eating tacos, drinking Coronas, or however you want to do it. Watching the Rays play the Yankees, probably win another one. They're tied 2-2 right now, but we got a jam-packed show. Make sure to stream Sports Caffeine on fanstreamsports.com and also the app. Make sure to also listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and iHeartRadio. It's like I said before, we've got a jam-packed show. We've got the Pros versus Joes, Eric Romoff, and Eric, I'm sorry if I butcher up your name, but and Rob Thomas from Pros versus Joe, the charity that Kristen will be in the Fantasy League in. We will get them to them in about 5 to 10 minutes. But I'm going to bring in all my co-hosts, Kristen Jawan. Hello, how are you doing tonight, my dear?
It's good to be back. I can't wait to get my Dugout Mug. I know you have it sitting there somewhere for me.
Yes, it is in my car. You will have it on the 13th for our first show. And wow, that is overflowing right now in my Dugout Mug, and that's not good. Oh, well.
Anyways. First show at Rafferty's Bar and Grill for football opening weekend. I am so excited. I'm just curious what you bought with that big cardboard box behind you there.
That is something special I have planned for the next show I have.
So All right.
Don't you worry about it. There's somebody actually behind that, so don't worry about that.
I hope it's not your kid.
No, it's not. She's asleep. She is one half of Beauty in the Cleats, which will have episode 2 tomorrow night at 8 o'clock via fanstreamsports.com and also all the streaming platforms. Please welcome to the show, Kaylee Chukoski. Kaylee, how are you tonight? How are you?
Oh, you know, it's been a long week. It's only Tuesday, so send all the good vibes my way, but I'm excited to be here, so can't complain.
Have you calmed down a little bit from Fournette being waived? I know you were kind of steaming last night on Set the Sails, so I just wanted to make sure you're okay.
You know, at this point, nothing surprises me out of that organization. So I'm rolling with the punches, to be honest with you.
Okay, I gotcha. And we've given him a second shot. He did pretty well the first show he was on last week. It is Taylor the Troll Maville. Please welcome to the show. Taylor, welcome back to the show. Like I said, I will have my hand on the mute button lots tonight, so just be ready if you say something very outlandish, okay? This is your second shot, so you're doing okay.
Well, I appreciate it. Appreciate being back. I'm back-to-back shows, just like my Blue Jays go back-to-back, like my Cowboys go back-to-back, and just like my Raptors are going to go back-to-back, even though we just pulled off another L. So I'm ready to rock tonight with you guys.
And like we say before, no one cares about those teams at all. So let's break into the big news that happened today. According to all the media outlets, that the Saints are open to trading Alvin Kamara if the deal does not get done. So we're going to play our special game that we have. It's, state your case. We've got two guys to do state your case on. But before we get into that, I want your three thoughts. Alvin Kamara may be traded. Is this just smoke, or is this going to be an actual real deal where the Saints are looking to maybe part ways with their running back on their team? Kristen, I'm going to go with you first.
Pay the man. He has had, I'm looking at my notes right here, but 45 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey's had 48. Nobody else, the next one would be Derrick Henry at 47. He is the only one on this list of Zeke, McCaffrey, Henry, Mixon, Le'Veon making under $1 million, really. He's slated to make 2.3. Latavius Murray's making 4.05. If I'm Alvin Kamara, I'm pissed. I'm doing a good job, and he's not high usage, so he's got a lot of years under his belt. The Saints are stupid. I mean, what are they going to get, a first round pick? They're going for the Super Bowl. You have Drew Brees there at home. Who knows how long, much longer you have Drew Brees. You need to pay the man. He deserves to be paid. And he's going to have a lot more years under his belt than these full-time running backs. So I was shocked when I saw they're opening a trade. I think it's all smoke and mirrors.
Kaylee, what about you? Do you think this is all smoke and mirrors? Do you think this is actually going to happen where the Saints will trade Alvin Kamara away?
I think it's smoke and mirrors. I think it's a standoff. They want him to come to camp. He wants to get paid. Obviously, he needs to get paid. I love Latavius Murray, but he's not doing what Alvin Kamara is doing. And they lose the edge when you don't have them both. And I think this year, when they're looking so primed to go to the Super Bowl or make a serious run at it, at least, you can't afford to lose them. So I think they're going to pay him. I think this will go on a couple more days, and then it'll be a done deal.
Okay, Taylor, what do you think? Do you agree with the ladies, or are you going another way?
I'm definitely for once agreeing with the ladies on everything. I mean, it's he said he, you know, coming out of college in the NFL, he didn't want to get paid. But then once Kristen said he named the numbers, he's only making 2.1 this year or something like that. It is the last year of his rookie deal. But usually people that stand out on that last year of the rookie deal, you do get a little bit of love, a little bit of bump, you know, going into that next contract. Or, you know, so I expect them, you know, that they have to pay. I mean, and they're going to. It's just a matter of
they better do something. I drafted him ninth in my first overall, the first round. I picked him ninth in my other league I did the other day. So he better get paid. Or hey, if he's going to get traded to a team, he better get traded to a team that knows how to use them. So I agree with all three of you. I think it's just smoke and mirrors. They've got 2 weeks left until the season starts. They will probably get a big deal done. I don't think it's going to be Derrick Henry money, but it will probably be big. So he will stay. So I think we're all in agreement that Alvin Kamara will stay in the Saints. So let's state your case. If he does decide, if he does get traded, if the Saints go the other way and they're saying, look, we're not going to pay you, we're going to trade you away, what team would be best suited for Alvin Kamara? State your case. Kristen.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I guess I would go somewhere like the Rams because they can use him like Gurley. They lost Gurley. You know, he's a good pass catcher. They do have a lot of running backs back there, so they don't have to use him full time. So I think the Rams would be a good spot. I don't know what their cap space is or anything. But I just wonder what can the Rams give up, you know, to what are the Saints going to take for a trade? You got to get a first round pick and probably another player, a couple picks down. He's so valuable that it's just too much. And nobody's going to give them what they want for that trade. I
totally agree. And I looked at the cap space numbers today. The top three teams that have the most cap space, the Browns, Jags, and the Patriots. So the Patriots could be a place where he lands as well. So, Kaylee, state your case. What team could be great for Alvin Kamara if they decide to trade him?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking the Patriots. I think Sony Michel is obviously great, but he's not giving them that consistency they're looking for. They need someone to add a little variety in their offense. But I'm going to go with the Jaguars because if he goes,
shocker.
Shocker. And the Jaguars do not give an arm, a leg, a second leg to get him, I'm done. Like, I can't. Because at this point, like, what do you need a first-round pick for if you're Jacksonville? You don't know how to draft. You don't know how to develop first-round talent. You don't need a first-round pick. We don't need to make any more first-round picks. We need to trade for first-round pick talent in the NFL that's already developed that we don't have to do a lot of work on. And Alvin Kamara is that guy. We've lost Fournette. And I don't really see, honestly, any other team needing him at this point more than we probably do. But we don't know how to use him. So
you don't trust Chris Thompson or Armstead at all? You don't trust those two guys?
You know.
That's a no-face. I got you.
I don't trust anyone in this organization besides Gardner Minshew. So.
Okay. Taylor, state your case. If Alvin Kamara gets traded away, what team would be best suited for him?
I don't know the cap numbers for – I have two teams. I don't know the cap numbers for either of these teams, but I could see someone like Arizona or someone like Oakland picking him up. The reason being Arizona would obviously steady that offense with I don't think Kyler's any good, but I think Hopkins is obviously good. And I think they could steady the ship there. And then obviously having a primary name in Oakland and Vegas and getting that thing rolling, whether or not Carr works out, having that kind of safety blanket for him since he is kind of erratic and he has someone to check the ball down to. Once again, it's based on their cap numbers, and I don't have the list in front of me currently. But okay. I could see one of those two teams working out well for him.
I'm sure Carl from Rafferty's would be very proud of you for saying that. So that's extra bullet points with him, I guess, right? Is that why you said that?
No, that's not why you said that.
I've been seeing a lot of tweets today, though, about, you know, them paying Taysom Hill. Do you think Taysom Hill has something to do with this now? I mean, with these, a Swiss Army knife, as they say, of players, but he's not. I mean, he can throw touchdown passes. You know, Kamara's not doing that, but I just don't think you need that solid running back, and I don't think Murray's the guy.
Yeah, they gave Taysom Hill $21 million to be the Swiss Army knife that he is. So Alvin Kamara's probably like, look, if you're going to pay him money like that, I better get more cheddar cheese. So, okay, I got you. All right, so let's move on to Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette was waived over the weekend. Kaylee is fuming about this. She doesn't trust the Jaguars organization anymore. So he cleared waivers today. Nobody picked him up. So Fournette, what team would be best suited for Leonard Fournette? Taylor, state your case.
As I mentioned online the other day, I think the best place for him is the Toronto Argonauts, and I'm not kidding. The reason he reminds me of a lot of Leonard Phillips back in the day from Nebraska. Just he was trouble. He always had some shady things going on at LSU, and he's had a lot of shady things going on in Jacksonville. And I don't think he's a good person, to be honest with you. So I think he kind of has the same running style as Leonard Phillips does. And I think, you know, going to the CFL, is, even though they're not going to have a season, I don't think any other team really wants to deal with him. He may get a flyer and get a couple runs out there. Maybe the Patriots pick him up for a couple weeks, but he's not going to mesh with someone like Belichick. So I think he's done, to be honest
with you. Okay. Kaylee, do you agree with Taylor? Do you think Leonard Fournette is done, or do you think a team will pick him up? If a team picks him up, state your case. What team would be best suited for Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, I think he's going to get picked up, but I do agree with a lot of what Taylor said. Obviously, you look at him, there's problems we don't know about. There has to be, because there's so much going on that's very drastic. You know, even though he hasn't performed that well and put up those big numbers, he's still outperforming a lot of people that are sitting on benches and no one wants him. And that has to be for a reason. And that's a reason that we don't know, we don't understand. And I do think it probably has a lot to do with his personality and off the field issues more than anything. I think I could see him end up in Baltimore. I mean, obviously you've got, you know, the whole thing with Mark Ingram, you've got J.K. Dobbins, who's a rookie. I could see him filling in that middle child slot there. I could also see him kind of doing that in Washington. But I think the Patriots is the most natural option. They've got the cap space to pretty much do whatever they want at this point, especially with players opting out. And they do need like a short fieldage, you know, running back. They need someone on those goal line situations. And I really think that he's going to be that guy. I mean, all he's really good for is give or take 1 or 2 yards, negative or positive. But I think in those goal line situations, you know, even at the end of the day, you know, if you're going for two, he's going to provide you a little bit more stability than they have right now, but I don't see that being a long-term fit. I honestly don't see him finding a long-term home.
Okay.
At all.
Kristen, what about you? Do you think he's going to land somewhere, or do you think he's going to be done for now, and then maybe later on the line, if a team is really desperate for running back help, they're going to pick him up?
Well, I think the Jacksonville's whole philosophy here is tank for Trevor. I mean, they're getting rid of their best defensive player. They're getting rid of their – I do agree he's probably a cancer in the locker room. I'm thinking, you know, he played – one game with Nick Foles last year. Nick Foles is now in Chicago. We know David Montgomery's having some issues. Tariq Cohen's not that full-time back. So maybe someone like Chicago brings him in. They do need that running back. I did read a Yahoo article the other day that said they have the best running back in the league in Chicago, which I don't know who on Yahoo Sports wrote that article, because it's not
probably
true.
Somebody in Chicago. That's probably.
Yeah, I mean, but I really do not know what Jacksonville's doing. It's almost like the Miami Marlins. When someone's good, they just decide to get rid of them like all the time. So I was really surprising to me that they just released him without even, I don't know if they got any trade offers, but I could see somewhere in Washington, because I don't think Adrian Peterson has anything left in the tank. And Darius Geis has had the injuries, and now he's got some legal issues going on. So I'm thinking somewhere like the Washington football team or Chicago. It just isn't interesting. I'm wondering if Jacksonville knows there might not be a whole season. Maybe they know COVID's going to happen. And what happens if COVID shortens the season and they're 0-4? Do they get the number one overall pick? Tank for Trevor.
You know, I love when situations like these happen, especially when like big time players are waived or they're going to be traded, because, and listen, I'm a Bucks fan, and the Bucks fan base to me is so, it's funny, because whenever a star player goes not on a team anymore, they're going to get traded. The Bucks are like, oh, we're going to get him. Oh, we're going to get him. Twitter, Bucks Twitter today was almost like the kid that is at Christmas where he thinks he's going to get a PlayStation 5. but then doesn't get a PlayStation 5. He gets like a Nintendo GameCube. That's what the Bucks fan base is right now. And I find it funny. Listen, I'm a Bucks fan. I'll admit it. I'm not going to say we're going to get these either one of these guys. It's not going to happen. They don't have the cap room at all. Like, if you want to get somebody, you could probably go get somebody off the street for the type of money that they have left in the cap room. So I would say Kamara is going to stay with the Saints. Fournette, I could see the possibility of maybe going to a place maybe like Miami. I mean, they've got only Jordan Howard and Matt Breida there. Maybe a change of scenery down south in South Beach where he could get in trouble. That could be good for the Dolphins. Or, hey, he could go all the way up to New England with the Patriots. Those are two destinations for him. I don't see him getting scooped up right away. He might be a mid to late season, like, fill-in if a running back goes down. I see him being picked up for that. So
when Todd Gurley gets hurt.
That could be a possibility too.
Definitely
a possibility as well. Okay, so I'm going to bring in Kristen. I'm going to let you have the field. I'm going to take everybody out. I'm going to bring in our guests. So I'll take Taylor out, Kaylee, and myself.
All right, guys. I am with Eric and Rob Thomas, which, by the way, you know you have the name of a famous musician there. One of my favorite. It's always
every show we've been on so far, I get that. Since I was 18 in college.
What was it? Office Space, when his name's Michael Bolton. Or was it Michael? Yeah. Yes, it's exactly like that. So, all right. So I am joined with Eric and Rob with Charity Pros with Joes, not versus Joes, which I'm going to be in this charity league. I am supporting the Humane Society of Sarasota County. You guys can buy tickets to be in my raffle to co-manage a team with me, a fantasy expert, but you guys deemed me, so thank you. So you're in San Antonio, Eric, and Rob's in my home state of Ohio. So Eric, go ahead and tell us a little bit about how this got started and what we're doing here with this fantasy league, how many people are in it, just a little background on that. Oh, he's on mute. You're on mute, Eric.
I'll hand it over to Rob in a second in terms of how it all got started. But right now we're 56 pros deep. Each of which is supporting a number of fantastic charities. So, raising some money and doing some good for some really great causes. The baby itself is Rob's brainchild. So I won't steal his thunder on that story.
All right, Rob, how did you come up with this? Because this is the first year, and it literally came up about 2 weeks ago. You guys inboxed me, and I said I'd be on board. And you've gained a ton of followers, and I've actually gained a really good group of fantasy Twitter family, I guess, going on with here. So give us a little background on how you started this.
Yeah, so about 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago today, I was listening to the Fantasy Football Today podcast with Dave Richards, said something about co-managing a team with him in their listener league. And I said, that would be an awesome idea. And Eric's called it since then, masterclass in fantasy football. So I said, what if we, put this to the sheet music of charity and team up what we call Joes with Pros. And I went to Twitter, I posted a thread, tagged some fantasy analysts, and it has taken off amazingly so far. So we met great people like you, and it's amazing.
I mean, response, even on Slack, I've never used Slack in my life, and all of a sudden my Slack's going off, and I'm talking, we're all sharing stuff, and we're sharing our podcast and everything. So it's 56 fantasy experts in 14 team leagues, correct? If I'm
correct.
Right, I forget, I'm in like six or something like that. And we're all, all the money raised goes to all charities. And I love that you're having the draft on. So the drawing is on September the 6th to draft with your pro. And then the draft is the 8th, which Al Bushman was just saying, his guy is Kamara. He drafted. So I love that the draft is right for the season. So we really can see who's hurt. Tyrell Williams, we saw that went out today and everything. Is it going to be, so there's a bunch of leagues, and now is it come down to like a total one winner? Is it just, winners of each league, or how is it going to be determined at the end?
Yeah. So we partnered with My Fantasy Leagues because we started this out. We're like, man, we really hope we get 10 teams. We kept growing and growing and growing, and now we're at 56. So it's set up in four conferences, 14 teams in each conference. Each conference has its own draft, its own universe. There'll be four drafts on Tuesday, and the divisional winners of each conference will play each other, and the conference winners will play, and then we'll crown one champion in the Pros with Joes one.
I mean, to come up with all of this in 2 weeks is really, really amazing. So, Eric, where did you come into this? So you just helped him with he came up with the idea, and you guys were like, let's do this. Let's reach out to people. And
Yeah, yeah. So the Twitter machine, based on who he tagged his initial post, was kind enough to put it right at the top of my feed. So reached out right away and just told him I love the idea. I thought it was a really interesting way to kind of peek into the minds of these fantasy experts that people follow. And I wanted to help out however I can. So just started exchanging DMs and figuring out, you know, how we make the logistics work. And like Rob said, I mean, we thought we were originally going to scrape by to get 10 or 12 people in, and now we've had to turn people away and, you know, get them set up for next year. So it really took off quickly. And, you know, Rob and I put in some pretty long nights trying to make it all come together.
I'm super impressed because I thought this was like a couple years running, and it's only 2 weeks running, and how well organized it is. Now, are you guys in the league, or you're just running it too much to be in it, obviously, right?
Yeah, we're not in the friends category. Right?
So how many teams do you have, Eric? Are you in fantasy leagues, though?
Oh yeah, yeah. Quite a few. Most of them were stacked up into that last week, to the point about, you know, trying to get as much information before the draft. But we're both carrying our fair share of leagues too.
All right, awesome. Well, I definitely want to have you guys on my fantasy show, which is on Thursdays. The pick is in, so I'll schedule that with you guys. But I really appreciate you coming on. I so appreciate you inviting me and calling me a fantasy expert. Now I can tweet that because someone else said it, not myself. So I don't know. The other guys may have some questions. I don't know. But if you guys want to stick around for a little bit and talk a little bit more football with us or anything, but I really, really appreciate you guys coming on and appreciate you having me. It's been really fun already just talking with the other fantasy experts and following them, because I'm getting so many different viewpoints. One of the guys I was talking about the other day said Jonathan Taylor is not going to be the man. And you guys are crazy if you think Jonathan Taylor is going to be the man. He's a fumble machine. And I wouldn't have seen that viewpoint unless I was in the group following this fantasy guy who I can't remember who tweeted it, but it was awesome. Do you guys have any questions for Rob and Eric?
Yeah, I've got a question for actually the whole panel. What is it? How many teams is socially acceptable? Because I used to do fantasy a lot. I'm down to three teams this year. I at one point was at six. So what's everybody's cutoff for leagues? I mean, is it too outrageous to have more than three, or is it okay to have six or maybe more than that?
Eric, how many do you have? You said you're in a few. How many are you in?
Yeah, so I'm carrying six right now.
Okay, so I feel your pain, Eric.
Yeah, every single year I tell myself that I'm going to trim down, and you know, usually I'll cut one or two loose, but then we'll get a day or two before kickoff, and I'll be scrambling to jump into another MFL or NFPC to just round out, you know, some weak spots in my roster that I don't like.
You know, I look at it this way. It's a good addiction. I told my wife, I was like, look, would you rather have me doing heroin? I mean, I could be doing that, or I could be doing fantasy football. I mean,
and she was like, definitely heroin.
Your call, right? Yes, right? She said, yeah, definitely heroin. Yeah. Definitely do that.
No, get some needles. I trimmed down. I am in my regular league with our old buddy Craig, which I can't even draft this year. My brother's going to have to do it for me. I'm in the Rafferty's League, who's our sponsor, and I trimmed down, and I'm in the charity league, and that's it, because it's too hard when you have, you know, your defense going against your quarterback, or, you know, I'm playing Tom Brady in this league, but I have him in this league. And who do you root for? It almost gets a little too confusing. Taylor, how many leagues are you in?
I was in four last year, and I'm in three right now. I could be in five if there's two leagues that they said they don't know if they're going to have them this year still that were I was in last year. So it just depends if they have those two. But right now, three. So it's the Rafferty's League and a friend's league and my brother's league right now. So
are you in the 9:30 draft?
I am in the 6 o'clock draft. I'm running the 9:30 draft. I'm running the 9:30.
So again, I don't have to see you. Now, does anyone here do daily fantasy? Eric and Rob, do you guys do daily fantasy at all?
I do. I dabble in a little bit. I'm a little bit of the math, the analytics of fantasy. So it's intriguing to dig through some of the numbers in daily fantasy. I started getting into it a little more a couple of years ago. Definitely not in some of these big money leagues, you know, in $5-$10 leagues. But I like it. It adds a different aspect to the fantasy game.
Yeah, I've dabbled in some 50-cent ones. Kaylee, how many leagues are you in? Out of curiosity.
I am in just two. Last year I did five. My issue is that I always outperform in the leagues that I do not care about. Like people I don't know, be involved. I'm killing it, right? Like I'm always like, I've either won the league or I've been like top three. And then the league that I put a lot of time, effort, energy, I study, I research, I lose or pretty much almost lose last.
So I'll need you to put in a lot of work for the Fanstream League so you can lose because you're not going to beat me. So, meh.
Yeah, the only league I won 2 years ago, I took over a friend who passed, and I took over and I ended up winning with his team he drafted. He passed right before the season started. And you know what? Nobody paid, so I never got any money. So I'm a little pissed. I finally got paid, and I never got paid.
Christian, you have your own Brett Favre game where his dad died, and then he played that same night and had like four touchdowns.
Always get the money ahead of time.
Exactly.
The people got the money ahead of time. I just didn't get paid. All right, so my last question for you guys, Eric and Rob. Who is your must-have guy this year? Who are you not giving up? You're going to draft that guy.
Man, I'm finding myself with a ton of shares of Ben Roethlisberger. He's going second to last round in drafts. He's going undrafted in many cases. And there's no reason for me to think that he's not going to plug right back into where he was a few years ago. So if I can get him for free, I mean, I'll jump on it all day. And so far, so good. I've got him just about everywhere.
I see you're working on your Roethlisberger beard there. So
he shaved it off. Shaved it off. Eric, Rob, if somebody wanted to check out the charity leagues, where do they need to go to check this out?
Yeah, easiest way to get involved is head to our website. It's proswithjoes.com. There you fill out a real simple kind of 3-question registration form. That'll take you right to our donor center where you can browse through all of our 56 pros and the amazing charities they're supported. Or if you're looking for a shot to co-manage with Kristen directly, you can go straight to her supporter site. It's go.rallyup.com/Jalwan, J-A-L-W-A-N. So she's supporting the Humane Society there in Sarasota County. Really great cause, but also sounds like she's got some winning fantasy blood there on the line. So inside shot for a championship too.
That's yet to be determined yet. So that's all good.
Hey, my team is Sports Caffeine Pro because they wanted a pro in it. And I'm representing all of us here.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, Eric, Rob, if you want to stay on, we're going to talk about tight ends, who has the best seasons. If not, you're more than welcome to get on out of here. It's totally up to you, but we're going to go on. We like to play a game here called Who Has the Better Season? We've been doing this the past couple weeks. We did wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks last week, but now we're going to go to the tight ends. And tight ends are – it's a special coveted position because you only really have a top 4 or 5 guys that you want to get in your draft, and then you really have to go scrounging in the bottom half of your draft when it comes to getting a tight end. So who has the better season, Travis Kelce or George Kittle? Kristen, I want you to go first on this one.
I'm just going with Kelce. I mean, they're coming off that Super Bowl win. Patrick Mahomes just got paid. They, you know, you have Helaire back there. I just don't see the 49ers doing what they did last year. I don't see them going back to the Super Bowl. I almost feel it was a little bit of a fluke. They're in a hard division there. And I just go with Kelce. Kittle's great, but I just don't see Garoppolo and them having the same year they had last year.
Taylor?
I'm going with Kittle. I love Kittle. George Kittle's my favorite football player in the whole league, besides every Cowboys player. What? In the whole league, he's my favorite player because I've seen him catch little three-yard wide receiver or tight end screens and take it 80 yards to the house, and it's just amazing to watch. Kelce, to me, looks like he's getting a little bit slower, a little bit longer in the tooth. He's still a great route runner, and he's still a great target for Mahomes, but I feel like Mahomes is going to spread the ball around a lot more, and Kittle's pretty much their whole offense there. I mean, they run the ball and throw it to their tight end down the seam. So I love Kittle. Kittle all day, every day.
Kaylee?
I'm going to go Travis Kelce. I just think, like Kristen said, I think you're just going to see the Chiefs get better and better. You're going to see Pat Mahomes get better and better, and they have that connection. I think there's other positions. We've done running backs. We've done wide receivers where you can really kind of isolate the player. I think tight ends, you're going to see it follow the ebbs and flows of the offense, and I don't think the 49ers are going to be, you know, a contender against the Chiefs this year. So,
okay.
I'll take either one.
Yeah, I mean, you would in a fantasy draft if they're available. Sure, why not? All right, Mark Andrews or Zach Ertz? Kaylee, I will start with you first.
I mean, I'm going to go Zach Ertz. I think Mark Andrews is going to have a big year. I mean, you saw him kind of rise with Lamar Jackson, and I think they are kind of in tandem in a way that is going to really benefit him, even though that offense is so Lamar Jackson-based. I think you're going to see him kind of benefit with that and kind of be lifted up alongside of Lamar, but I don't think that he's going to quite touch Ertz, because even with that 2 tight end system they've got in Philadelphia, they're in a really tough spot wide receiver-wise, and they're going to lean on those tight ends. And that's going to be a place where you see probably more tight end play than almost anywhere else in the league. So I just think, I think Ertz is up for a big year.
Yeah, because Philadelphia does have a problem with keeping wide receivers healthy. So yeah. I agree with you on that. Taylor, what do you think? Do you think Mark Andrews or Zach Ertz is going to have a better season?
Well, as I mentioned last week on the show, I am not a Lamar believer at all. I think last year was just a one and fluke season for him. And so I don't think Mark Andrews is going to be any good. And obviously Zach Ertz isn't good either. So, but at the best of two evils, I mean, we have Wentzel suck a lot up there in Pennsylvania, and he can't really throw the ball besides a wide receiver screen. So I'm going to go with Zach Ertz or Brett Celek, whoever they got up there.
They got Dallas Goedert too. So they got him as
well. Great first name on him. And we're going to go with him because I'm not on Lamar.
All right, and you're muted. All right, Kristen, what do you think? Mark Andrews or Zach Ertz?
I agree with I think it's going to be Zach Ertz. I think Mark Andrews, people know about him now. They're going to scheme their differences differently. I think Baltimore changes their whole scheme too. I think you see J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram getting in the end zone a lot. I don't think Lamar gets in the end zone as much as he did. And I think it's going to be the Miles Sanders, Zach Ertz show there in Philly. Like they said, there's not a lot of other guys. I think Miles Sanders, I told you this in text the other day, is primed for a really, really big year. I think he finishes top five running back in the league. But I just think Zach Ertz, you know, him and Carson are going to have a full year together. He's the guy who Carson's going to rely on. We don't know what receivers. Nelson Aguilar can't catch anything like the guy catching the babies out of the burning building, which how great was that last year? I mean, probably my prime NFL moment. He's like, tell Nelson Aguilar I can catch or whatever. But I don't see Baltimore. I think it's going to be a harder division. I think the Browns, like I said, are going to be better. Steelers are coming back with Roethlisberger. And I think the Bengals are going to be not great, but surprisingly better. You have AJ Green coming back. Joe Burrow's got a chip on his shoulder. So I think Baltimore's going to have a little bit tougher season than they did last year facing all those teams twice.
Okay. Moving on, Darren Waller or Evan Ingram? Taylor, I will start with you.
Darren Waller all day.
God, you're a Raiders homer all day, man.
Well, no, I mean, you're giving me NFC. He's
player. I know. He's been hanging out with Carl too much to do with these Raiders.
I fell in love with Darren Waller last year on Hard Knocks with the Raiders last year. They did a really good backstory on his tough, overcoming his drug addiction and all this kind of stuff. And he is just athletic freak extraordinary. He's like another Gates, but faster. He's just great. Evan Engram, for some reason, I've seen him drop a lot of balls. I feel like I don't know. I've seen him take it to the house at the end of the season. He did pick it up a little bit more, but it's Daniel Jones. So I'm just not a big fan of Daniel Jones. I'm obviously not a big fan of the Giants, and I love some Darren Waller. So Darren Waller would be actually my third rated tight end after Kelsey and Kittle.
Okay, Kristen, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Evan Engram just because the Giants defense is so terrible that they're going to have to throw a lot. I think Saquon's going to have a down year because they're going to be playing from behind a lot. And Daniel Jones is going to have that safety net. Engram does, I mean, drops the ball up, but he's got good hands. And I think he has a comeback year. We've seen what he can do. And I mean, if Sterling Shepard, I just don't really know who Daniel Jones is going to throw to. Only not because I think he's the better tight end. I just think that they're going to be playing from behind a lot more. So he's going to get a lot more looks.
And Kaylee. What are your
I agree. I think, you know, Evan Engram is high risk, high reward when it comes to injury. But when he's high reward. And for them, he's that consistent guy that they can throw to. I think they are going to be playing behind a lot. And I just don't know that the Raiders are going to do what they need to do to scheme around Waller. And I think if they can use him properly, then he's going to be huge. But if they don't, and especially how they incorporate new wide receivers, I just don't know. We'll see. But I think, you know, Evan Ingram's more on lock, whereas Waller's a little up in the air.
Okay. Our last duo of who has the better season, Rob Gronkowski, the Gronk, or Hayden Hurst? Which one has a better season? Kristen, I'll go with you first.
I'm going Hayden Hurst. He's going to get all those catches that Hooper's not getting because Hooper's in Cleveland now. Gronk is going to be a blocker. Gronk is going to lead the way for these running backs that, you know, Rojo and
OJ Howard and Cameron Brait.
So, I mean, I really actually see probably Cameron Brait getting probably more catches than any of the tight ends there. We just saw Cameron Brait, you know, that he's kind of like the Robert Gronkowski of old that Brady liked. You know, I think OJ Howard and Gronk are going to be more blockers. Gronk will get a few, but I just think Hayden Hurst is going to get all those looks from Eddie Ice, and he's going to have a really big year there in Atlanta.
Okay, Kaylee?
Yeah, I agree. I just think with Gronk, he took a year off. He's a little bit older. The Bucs offense is honestly so stacked. Their wide receivers are solid. you know, OJ Howard solid. They've just got so much going for them offensively. I just don't see him being as dynamic or as center stage as he was in New England. So I think you have to lean Hayden Hurst on this one.
All right, Taylor, finally on you. Who has the better season, Gronk or Hayden Hurst?
I guess we're disagreeing on everything because I'm going Gronk all day. I mean, Gronk, what did he lost like 100 pounds, so I don't think he's going to be a blocker at all in New England because he's still trying to put on weight, and I don't think he's going to be as effective as a blocker since he's going to be lighter on his feet. And him and Brady obviously have that connection. The Bucs traded for a second rounder for O.J. Howard. Remember, like, what's-his-face said during the draft, so – No, I'm kidding. They never did that. But obviously I think the connection with Gronk and Brady. So I think it's going to be – and in Atlanta, they have Matt Ryan. I mean, you can't throw the ball past a yard. So let's be serious. We're going okay. Gronk.
All right. Well, I can't come back on the show again because his facts are not factual. You just said 7 lies in 2 sentences.
Well, I said I was kidding about that second round trade, but that's just something.
Yeah, he harbors those feelings from the draft where I think it was JP said something about OJ being traded for a second round pick. And
I said
that. Taylor, like a lot of things, Taylor doesn't let it go. So he doesn't let it go. So, all right, let's move on.
If he's on the show, he can't troll us in the comments when he's on the show.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. He can only troll us on here, but I have a mute button and I can do whatever I want with that. So it's all good. Okay. All right. So the Rays are standing alone in first place or 4 games up on the New York Yankees or right now. I think they're tied with the Yankees right now, 2-2 in the Bronx. Rays are rolling. Yankees are floating by a raft in the stream, and the Blue Jays are, you know, making trades, making deals to come on up. I want to get your guys' takes on going forward. We're more than halfway through the season. We're almost to that postseason push where the Rays have probably got the number one seed locked. You know, I want to get your thoughts on the trade deadline moves. Who came out really the best and who really came out the worst? Taylor, I'm going to go with you. I know what your answer is probably going to be is the Blue Jays probably came out the best, but I wanted to hear your thoughts on who came out the worst in the trade deadline for Major League Baseball.
I mean, there's a lot of teams that could have made a lot of moves that didn't make any. Like the Braves didn't do anything. Like the Cubs didn't do anything.
Didn't do anything.
Yankees didn't do anything. And their pitching's just been struggling lately. Rays didn't do anything. I mean, but the Rays didn't really need to. So, I mean, there's a lot of teams who are just going for it. Like the Blue Jays, you know, and the Padres, where you're in a shortened season. And you're like, screw it. We might as well just go for it. Let's add some pieces. I mean, the Padres are just—they're at it. They're unbelievable. Like I could see them. I could see them winning. To be honest, I could see them beating the Dodgers and winning the whole thing. But I'm happy that my Jays are going for it. They made some smaller, low-end trades because we don't have the payroll for a lot of bigger name guys or the farm system. But you know, we're hanging in there. And if right now we play the Rays first round. And I would love that. Oh my gosh. Me, a whole country against 13 fans of the Rays would be the best.
Well, you know what? Ever. Those 13 fans will cheer loud and proud your whole stupid country and everything. So remember, Canada is America's hat, Taylor. Remember that. Kaylee, out of all the teams that should have made a move or did make a move at the trade deadline, who do you think really came out the best overall?
I think obviously, you know, like Taylor said, the Padres killed it.
All right, I got to mute Kaylee here real quick, and I'll go to Kristen. Kristen, who came out the worst at the trade deadline?
To be honest, I was very busy and I didn't watch much of the trades. I did see Cleveland got rid of Clevinger, but I
did.
Like Taylor's saying, these teams are making moves. Why would you? You know, it's a shortened season. It's probably going to be an asterisk. If you're the Yankees, why would you trade away a piece that you could have for next year? And then, you know, in a shortened season,
I love the fact that you brought that up. So let's just say your team goes to the World Series. They win it all. It's a shortened season. Are you still going to take this World Series as a real win-win? Or do you think it's just kind of a cheapened World Series because it's a 60-game season? I mean, I myself have been pondering this for the past couple months. I'm like, it would probably be my luck. The Rays go all the way to the World Series. They win it all in a 60-game season. To me, it cheapens the whole 162 World Series. I don't want them to go to the World Series and win it all because I would rather have them play the full season instead of this shortened 60-game season. I want your guys' thoughts. If your team goes and wins it all, do you feel cheapened by this? Would you still accept this World Series title?
We talked about this when the baseball started, and I said, I think it's more of an accomplishment. You don't have an all-star break. You know, you have all that time to regain ground. Like the Rays last year were so far behind, and then they almost made it to the playoffs. But now, like, you know, I'm an Indians fan, and I'm not – they're one game behind the White Sox right now. I haven't seen an Indians game. I mean, they're not on in the markets here. I haven't seen a lot of people from Cleveland on social media posting a lot of things. I almost feel like it's kind of – you got the basketball playoffs going on. You got the hockey playoffs going on. Again, it's kind of fallen to the wayside, and now I'm like, it would be just Cleveland's luck. Let us go win another championship that doesn't even matter now. You know, Cleveland gets the World Series. Oh, great, thanks. Now, great. So I'm actually now – before – I've changed my opinion – before I thought it was harder. Now I kind of think it's a cheapened championship.
I think a chip is a chip. Sorry to butt in.
Okay.
I think
okay.
a chip is a chip. I mean, just like the Spurs did it back in the day. What are we 30 years later from that? You know what? They still won a chip. No one okay. knows that it was only a 40-game season or whatever the case was. Whenever they had that strike, 50 years from now, if the Rays is the only World Series they have, guess what they're going to say. We have a World Series.
I like that opinion because I'm really kind of on both sides of the story because A, I would love to see them win a full series, like a full season series, full World Series that way. But hey, man, if they have to win it via a 60-game season, by all means, let's do it. The only thing I think I'm really disappointed about is as a fan, I won't be able to see that up close. Like, they're not going to let fans in Tropicana Field. I'll have to go and watch it somewhere or watch it at my house because now, I mean, they're proposing to doing the bubble system now for in Texas and also California. But I think maybe that's where my heart is if they go all the way and win it, I'm not going to be able to go to the game and watch it live, which I've been waiting for the past 20 some odd years. Kaylee, what do you think? Do you think if your team goes, you know, I know Jacksonville doesn't have a team at all, but if the Rays go, oh yeah, that's true. If the Rays go, do you think this championship still means something or do you think it's cheapened by the 60 game season?
You know, I think asterisks come in when teams have a situation that's different from the other teams, right? So I think when every team is facing the 60 game, the shortened season, it does change strategy. And I think that presents a challenge to every team, especially with the trade deadline. Like you're saying, they don't get the proper like waiver time after the whole deal. Like they have to strategize very differently. So I think both teams like the Padres who went in with clear holes in their system and filled them in a way that was very efficient, they're going to prosper from that and see a lot of success. Whereas other teams, like, yeah, maybe the Braves and the Rays and the Yankees didn't need to go and make all those moves in a shortened season, but that could also have them kicking themselves later, right? So you just never know. And I think at this point, it's a whole new strategy. It's a whole new approach to trade. It's a whole new approach to the season. So I think it presents a challenge. And like Taylor said, you're not going to look back and say, you know, that didn't count. I think the only thing it does diminish is the fan experience. But I think for players, teams, and the league, I don't think it cheapens anything for them. I think it just cheapens it on the fan side.
Okay. I've always had this dream where I would go to game 7 or the game where they wrap up the World Series and really get really blackout drunk and enjoy a World Series. And then the next day I'll probably have some tattoo somewhere on my arm where it says World Series champ, but it's misspelled and the Rays is backwards somewhere. So I think that, you know, that's actually a good thing that doesn't happen. So
you've got plenty of years to do that.
And I didn't deep dive into all the trades for all the teams, so I didn't really see which teams were like mortgaging their future for this season. But I know on the Blue Jays side, at least on their end, all our trades were for players to be named later. So we didn't give up anything.
You guys got really a lot of younger guys. I think the team that really kind of bet the farm and really is going all in is the Padres. They made the most moves, the really big moves to bring in guys that's really going to help out their team, you know, make that push for the playoffs. So I think whoever, you know, I think the Padres win in the trade deadline. I think in free agency or their trade deadline, they won. I think also the Rays won too in that one. They made a couple of moves before the deadline yesterday, but having the Yankees not make any moves makes the grip on the AL East a little bit tighter, and it kind of makes the Blue Jays kind of in play for that second spot, that second place spot, because if the Yankees don't make a move and you don't have guys like Stanton and also Judge come back, you know, they could maybe be bounced out of the playoff run. And if it's the Yankees, that's fine with me. You can bounce them out all you want. I'll play the Jays. I don't care. We've beaten them all season long. It's all good.
I do have a cautionary tale, though. Black got drunk in game 7 of the World Series. Like I did, Cleveland versus Chicago. We had all the momentum. freaking rain delay. All the momentum changed. I'm blackout drunk. And thank God, because I don't remember the Indians losing game 7 against the Cubs. Here you go. Do not get blackout drunk until the game is over.
Kristen, you had your own version of time travel. You just went in the future. You just didn't know about it.
So at least Kyrie won you a championship.
I mean, yeah, I do remember Ohio State winning the 2000 championship game.
No, that didn't happen.
I'm sorry. What team won? What? Kristen, I'm sorry. What?
Beat the Miami.
And you're muted. All right. There you go. All right. Before we close it out, it's been a great show. Thanks for Rob and Eric for coming on and plugging the pro. I'm sorry, I keep saying pros versus Joes. What is it now?
It's charity pros Joes, but it's pros with Joes.
Okay. Charity's pros with Joes. Charity coming on. Kristen, I hope you do get a fantasy manager to go along with you for the Humane Society of Sarasota. It's a great cause. Lots of animals need to be adopted out there, especially in Sarasota, Bradenton County. So before we close it out, the one question I want to ask all three of you is: Lightning hockey is going on. The Tampa Bay Lightning clinched their spot going into the Eastern Conference Finals last night with the overtime goal by none other than Victor Hedman closing it out. Boston can go back to New England and cry in their clam chowder.
Chowder.
I mean, Patrick Oz and Yaki Way. They're not playing with Stammer. Kucherov wasn't there either. And I've always been saying this the past couple of months. If you can win without Stammer, do you think the Lightning need to move on from Stamkos after this year? Kaylee, I'll go with you first.
I think you move on if it makes sense, right? Financially, strategically, does it make sense? If not, I think you can work around him. Obviously, he's an asset in a lot of ways. But I think with these late season additions, it just proves that they can do it without him, and they can do it cheaper, younger, and in a way that makes more sense for their scheme. So I think at this point, it could go either way. If it makes sense, yes. If not, then, you know, good for the Lightning.
Now, Taylor, I know you're not a Lightning fan. Right. But you're a hockey guy. What do you think? Do you think the Lightning should stick with Stammer? He really hasn't played in a full season yet. He hasn't been in the playoffs at all. The Lightning can win without him. Do you think they should just move on and trade him to see what they can get in the offseason?
They probably should. I mean, he was just so good in the first half of his career for the Lightning that it's tough for them to really move past that. But like they have Palat, who's a 7th-round pick. They have Gord and Johnson, who weren't even drafted, neither Yanni Gord or Johnson. They had Braden Point, 3rd-round pick. So, I mean, there's places to obviously, you know, there's players out there who can become superstars, obviously, through the draft. And if you could get some good pieces, which obviously, you know, Tampa has some holes on the defensive end, you know, like we talked about last week, that maybe they can pick up with him and maybe some kind of sniper on the edge, you know, someone like a Ovechkin that could sit in that circle and hit some slappies on some power plays, then, you know, maybe it'll work out for him. We're going to see. I wasn't sad that they knocked off the Bruins. The Bruins are my least favorite team in hockey, so
nobody's crying over Boston Bruins right now.
It was probably because you called for John Cooper's job last week, and we all bet against him. So we all thought they were going to lose, and we were all wrong. So
it was last week where we all said that they were not going to be moving on. And what do? They take the series. So maybe if we talk more shit about the Lightning, they'll just keep all the way going to the Stanley Cup Finals. So they won't win in the Eastern Conference. They suck. They're not going to win. So there you go. Kristen, do you think they should move on from Stammer?
They kind of look like the Rays a little bit, where you have like an Evan Longoria, but then you bring up all this young talent, and they have a great front office to recognize that talent. Like Kaylee said, I think if it makes sense, then do it. But you know what Stammer reminds me of? I know you don't like basketball, the J.J. Barea, the guy who's been hurt and on the Mavs, but you know what? He's kind of like a coach. He coaches these guys. He's great in the locker room. He motivates them. So I don't know what Stammer is doing behind the scenes or at practice that maybe he's helping these guys become better. Because I don't think he's sitting out as like a sour grape over there. I think he might be contributing to help the team a little bit. So if he is still doing that,
We don't know. There's rumors that he is in the bubble and he's not in the bubble. So we don't know if he's there or not.
I just don't think you're not in the bubble and your team's in the playoffs. Yeah. Like you got it. I don't know. But if, like Kaylee said, if it makes sense, if you can get something for him, if he is, you know, not there coaching or whatever, but yeah, they've been doing fine without him. I mean, last night was a nail biter, like Jesus, but at least they beat Boston. But yeah, if it makes sense, then do it. But if not, if you're not going to get anything of value back and he's there and he is helping the team and maybe he can contribute next year, well, don't get rid of him for nothing. No value.
Okay.
It looks like they're going to have to wait a little bit longer to see who they play because Philly's up 3-1 right now on
Are they?
The Islanders in the third, so they're going to play another game, it looks like.
That's okay. More rest for the Lightning. More rest. That's all good. All right, guys, before we get on out of here, any last-minute news or notes before we move on? Kristen, I'll go with you.
No, just looking forward to the charity Pros with Joes. Go to proswithjoes.com and donate. It's like $10. You can play with me. It goes to a good cause. Save the pups. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
And make sure to check out your show. The Pick is in on Thursday at, are we doing 8 o'clock again?
8 o'clock. We have Club Fantasy Football coming in. The next week, we got Rosalie from DraftKings. So, all the drafts are happening now, so you really want to watch. I got some really, really good experts coming in.
All right. Taylor?
I'm just looking forward to the Jays keep winning. This is their 0-2.
All right. And that's enough out of you. And last but not least, Kaylee, what do you got for us before we get on out of here?
Tune in to Beauty and the Cleats tomorrow. It'll be our second episode, 8 p.m., and that's all I got.
By the way, I want to congratulate you and Ruth are killing it, and I'm so proud of you girls. It's so great to have all these girls on the fan
stream.
I'm not one of the guys soon.
We had too much sausage on fan stream, so I decided, hey, why not we have some ladies come on and talk some sports too as well. Well, this has been a great episode for Sports Cafe. Make sure to stream us on Fanstream Sports and download that app and make sure to listen to us on there as well as Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and iHeartRadio. Make sure to check us on Facebook and Twitter as well at Sports Caffeine 1 on Twitter and also on Twitch and Periscope and YouTube as well. For myself, L. Bushman, Kristen, Taylor, and Kaylee, we will see you next week on Tuesday night for Taco Tuesday Sports Night at Sports Caffeine, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will see you guys later.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Sports Caffeine, available for streaming on FanStreamSports.com and FanStream Sports, the app.
Okay,